welcome to another fun episode of the Horse Racing Happy Hour. And we are going to, is this our last Preakness preview, like Road to the Preakness show?
It is our final Road to the Preakness show.
Mike Andolfo, what's your name?
I'm John Piasek. Nice to be here.
Radio Louie next to me.
Uh-oh, all of a sudden I can't hear.
Yeah, this is Mike's microphone. He has no idea how to keep it working. Louie, yeah. You're out. Louie also can't hear us.
We'll take it from here. Let's get started with the show. Those two clowns, we can't hear a word they have to say.
Oh, wait.
There we go. And he came back. You guys lost audio for like 30 seconds.
Okay. Sorry. Well, so I don't know what happened.
The real expert was coming out of the background, me, to talk about horse racing.
No. Same thing that happened last week. I had my phone on. I'm doing it again. I set the phone on Do Not Disturb. Who knows what happened?
Michael. So you're walking into a very unprofessional show, Kelly, number one. But number two, No one in here likes one another. Dan thinks of us as middle-of-the-country rubes. I don't like Dan Illman, but people that listen to this podcast do. I don't understand it.
Have you ever seen his office, Louie? Come on,
he's a baller, for sure. I'm dealing with it, I promise. Look, keep having him on. I'm obviously dealing with it. But John Piasek also has beautiful hair, and I hate him. So that's what you're walking into, Kelly. Good evening.
Good evening. I mean, eventually you will find out what it is you hate about me, but I am just going to come in 0 for 0, just completely innocent on the show. So, yeah, I'm taking full advantage of that.
There you go.
All right, we got to do one quick announcement about our Preakness trip. I'm going back for Preakness round two. Louie got me going, even after my incredible travel accommodations in Baltimore last time.
There's nothing
the
like
dude was missing scene. Two fingers and they were freshly cut off. That's all I'm gonna say.
We did
all
see
right.
that in Baltimore. Right. Yeah, that's a
thing. I am Inner Harbor, even though there's a Ruth Chris Steakhouse down the street, does not necessarily mean that.
Okay, move on. Let's
try I need to add to this. I need to add to that conversation. My parents 2 weeks ago were just in town, first time like legitimately visiting, and they were staying at the Renaissance Inner Harbor. Second night they were there, I dropped them off. There is a bunch of police cars. They get to their room safely. Turns out that there was a shooting right outside the hotel.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, hello, Baltimore.
Hello, Baltimore.
So speaking of Baltimore,
we're going to go Jimmy Seafood. We're going to do a live handicapping seminar Friday night at Jimmy Seafood. They were so awesome to us last year that we're going back. We're going to see... You know, first off, I just want everyone to understand that Louie tried to be very Maryland when we went last year. And ooh. John Piasek can definitely agree with this.
I have no idea where this is going.
Louie went all out and said, I'm getting the seafood tower. And so we got the seafood tower. And then, like, basically John Piasek and I were the only ones that ate all that. That was it. No one else. I don't think I had so much chilled excellent seafood, by the way.
Those crab legs.
Phenomenal. Those crab legs were unbelievable. But everyone else was like, just like looking at it, like intimidated by it. And I'm like, just digging in as much as I can.
Yeah,
so
that is what it is. Yeah.
So I'm excited to go back there. And
details to come, but love our folks over at Jimmy Seafood. Really good experience last year. We'll be back out there. The evening of the Black Eyed Susan, and I'll say it so Dan doesn't, just fade our picks the next day. Thanks, Dan.
I mean, you guys are really doing a handicapping seminar? So we're the handicapping.
I'm emceeing. I'm not picking. You know that. So.
Oh, man. All right.
I'll try to get Wyckoff to just give out picks.
But You also know if Piazik's hot. Like,
yeah, get out of the way. That's right. Yeah, no, that's right. If he misses on Black Eyed Susan Day, we're just going to have John talk for an hour and a half.
That's it.
Yeah. We'll stand outside and smoke cigars.
There it is.
Yeah.
That's what we got going on. All right. Dan Illman, John Piasek.
Yeah.
Callie's here.
Yeah.
What do we want to go to first?
Everyone from Maryland is here. It's great.
Yeah.
How about that? Yeah. It's royalty, baby.
All right.
I think the first thing we need to go into is that Encino has drawn into the Derby field. That's the obvious national story at this point.
Everybody is just
that's
like,
it. That's the whole thing.
Pins and needles.
Is the Battaglia winner going to make the Derby field? That's
this
what everyone
it.
Was wondering. That's right.
And Encino does draw in. So let's watch that replay. Zach, go for it. Maybe Zach. It's on the show sheet, Zach.
Bill, some 10 lengths off the lead, top of the short stretch. Encino, the leader, the wine steward, is right alongside. These two now going at it, moving into the final furlong. Gap of five more lengths to Dilger and then Secret Chat. Encino with a neck in front. The wine steward is second. Encino giving everything he's got. Turns back the challenge and wins the Stone Street.
That's the most excited Kurt Becker's ever been.
Usually it's like it's the Masters, and he's calling a race, and the four is coming around the turn.
Look at all the stone and the green jackets.
This is a beautiful place with a lot of stones, and we're going to have a sale as soon as this race is over, and then we're going to have another sale.
Final Derby prep race is in the books. The Lexington is won by Encino. I actually want to talk a little bit about the wine steward here, though. Coming back after a long layoff. Wine steward a legit Preakness contender here?
I thought he would look a little bit better in this race, but I thought he looked good enough that, yeah, second off the layoff, he'd go to the Preakness. I don't know. Dan, do you think he's likely for the Preakness?
He might be likely for the Preakness. I think he's maybe the New York Derby winner at Finger Lakes. I don't really think he's going to be winning the Preakness. He ran very well, certainly, last year in the Breeders' Futurity when he was second, but you could make the argument that that was a race that he had won, and he kind of just lost it at the very end. And in this race, while he ran just fine off of the layoff, he was second best to Encino. I don't see him going a mile and 3/16 against top horses. I think he's a very nice grade two, grade three type. He can make a lot of money for his connections. He's a good New York bred.
All right. Piazza, you want to add anything to that?
Well, I was going to mention the wine steward could be a possible Preakness horse, and so I'm glad you brought it up. I mean, for his first start in so long, I thought he ran very well. I wasn't quite sure what to expect first time in 2024. In fact, I thought I kind of overbet, but he still ran a game second. I don't know if he's a likely Preakness winner. I think he belongs in the field. And quite frankly, if it's a similar field like last year, where there's not a lot of Derby horses, he's going to have to be respected, especially second off the bench.
And then I think the only other really conversation here is Hades. Like,
yeah, right. What to do with him? Sure.
What is next for Hades? Do they give him a little bit of a break?
I think he needs a break season here. Not even that. They just ran him back to try to qualify for the Derby. Didn't work. He's 24th in points right now, even with the defection of No More Time. And so, in my mind, that's a horse that probably needs a little bit of time off. I think the Preakness is this year, especially with how good the field is. At least in my predictive estimation, he's probably not a Preakness horse. He's probably going to go back to Gulfstream Park and pick off some of those summer races.
This is the horse that Louis picked to win the Florida Derby.
I did. That's true.
Okay. Go ahead, Callie. Do you have some?
No. I was pretty much agreeing with everything, when it comes to these Triple Crown races. I was just kind of going to build off of what Dan said, about the horse who just won the Lexington. Solid grade two, grade three horse. A lot of these connections, i.e. owners, will get very excited and they'll get really hot to, frankly, enter horses in races that they shouldn't. So, I think when it comes to the Preakness projected field, potentially shaping up to be an interesting race for sure.
I think it's going to shape up to be a very fascinating race. I mean, obviously with Baffert having to go straight there after the ruling today, and I think it's going to be phenomenal. I really do. And especially if Fearsense wins and Pletcher has to actually run the Preakness.
Short stretch at Keeneland there in the Lexington, Dan. Do you think a horse like Encino actually turns into sort of another Brad Cox one-turn miler, that kind of thing? We see him in something like the Indiana Derby, something like that.
I'm not necessarily just going to pigeonhole him as a one-turn miler right now. I do think he has a lot of upside potential, and I do think he has enough pedigree to go long. To me, the Kentucky Derby is too much too soon. And I wonder if maybe he'll end up being a second season three-year-old that perhaps will blossom in races like the Pennsylvania Derby and maybe even later in the year. He's the kind of horse that you take your shot in the Derby, you're in it, take your chance. If it doesn't work out, the great thing about the Godolphin folks are they got the cash to be patient.
So Encino just joins the likes of Tawny Port, King Fury, Owendale, My Boy Jack, as the winner of the Lexington. And will be
My Boy Jack reference on a Thursday.
Well, My Boy Jack, of course, My Boy Jack ended up being like the buzz horse because, anybody who's named Jack bet on him and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, no, that's how that happens.
Just like everyone who named Rich bet on Rich Strike, except for
our producer in Baltimore, Rich. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that was it.
Hi, Rich. How are you, buddy?
Congratulations, Rich.
I do want to let Dan dance on my credibility grave for the last time.
For the last, we're not doing these next year.
So No. They put Tennessee on the turf after he ran a turfway. Never got into a derby prep. And he's up for sale.
Callie, this guy was telling me and telling the people at home, the poor people, they don't know. He doesn't know anything. And they're saying at the end, he's saying, I talked to Brad Cox and I read between the lines. Oh, Tennessee is going to be his Jeff Ruby stakes horse. And I was thinking, I don't know what this guy's talking about. Then he doesn't run into Jeff Ruby stakes. He shows up.
What are you talking about reading between the lines and Brad Cox? There's nothing to read. Sorry, you're absolutely correct.
But this guy's the amazing Kreskin. He can read between the lines. He knows exactly what's going on. He's an insider all of a sudden. And the next thing you know, Tennessee shows up. He doesn't show up in the Jeff Ruby stakes. He shows up on the turf. He's nowhere to be found. And now I can buy him at public auction and take him to Central Park and ride him around.
All right, now. There it is.
I need to see Tennessee in Central Park. Like, I need oxygen. Does everyone understand me?
Coming soon to a horse and buggy near you.
The real question is, how many times are you going to keep trying Dan Elman before it really hits you that you shouldn't be doing that anymore?
Thank you, Callie. Thank you very much.
Don't I get yelled at by Dan Elman once a month? Isn't that part of the show?
This is a guy telling me that Tito's going to be a one-turn miler. He's by Nyquist out of a half-brother to Street Sense. He's going to be a one-turn miler.
Callie, he is so – I don't know exactly why he comes on the show. He's so committed to this. Like, we're on the track together. He just big times us, acts like
that's
he doesn't know
very
us.
Very true. Yes.
I mean, it's a whole thing. It is a whole thing. So.
God.
Oh, geez. All right. So the second thing we need to talk about is our show sponsor here, Manscaped. And I think Dan Owen's going to do this right for us.
Let's go. Get out of the way.
All right, Dan.
Would you like me to? Because the only reason I'm doing the Manscaped promo is because I heard your last one, and it was mid. And I would like you guys to actually keep the sponsor because maybe you could have a program one day.
Manscaping tips with Dan Elman. Here we go. Let's go.
This Manscaped promo goes something like this. Ladies and gentlemen, before I used Manscaped, I was low. Things weren't going well for me. Life was getting hairy. I was very, very distraught, despondent, and disappointed in myself. I would be standing there in the shower and all I would see would be two robin's eggs in a vulture's nest. And then one day, I tried Manscaped. After one application of Manscaped, I felt lighter. I felt more free. I felt confident. I felt willing to look in the mirror and say, I am the lady's pet, the men's regret. What you see is what you get. And what you don't see is even better yet. Manscaped.
That's promo code.
Like all week, Dan. That's a big question.
That's pretty good. He's been doing that.
Promo code horse racing. 20% off.
Yeah. Promo code Dan Elman yourself.
Dan Elman. Manscaped.com/coastal elite. There you go. That's how that works. Yeah. Or Central Park. I can't remember which one it is.
Horse racing is the correct promo code. Please go to Manscaped.
Good partners of ours. We appreciate them. I love that Dan wanted to do that read so we can have a program.
It was so This is unlike any show ever. All right, let's get you gas bags doing some handicapping here. All right. I got Dan Elman who can handicap, Piazzik who can handicap, Tally who can handicap, and then we got Louie. So here we go. It's Tessio Day, baby.
Oh, let's go.
It is Tessio Day.
Let's go, Federico. Where are you?
I mean, John Piazzik. When you hear Tessio Day, how excited do you get?
On a scale of 1 to 10, it's about 5,000. It's a great day. And these in particular, all five stakes are great betting races. I mean, it's a fantastic day. If you don't play LOL on an everyday basis, betting races than usual, big group pools than usual, it's going to be a good day.
And 12% takeout on those pick fives, late pick five season.
That's so right. Don't forget about that.
Get in on that.
As Dan Salter used to remind us twice a day, industry low, 12% takeout. No longer industry low, but still very low.
It's very close.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very, 12
is
very,
very
playable.
That's right. Yep.
Very, very playable. Yes. Okay, let's get into the day, the card that we're going to talk about. We've got four stakes races.
Yep. John, you forgot to quote Louis, which is the Tessio is the number one predictor of who will win the Derby and the Preakness.
Not the Derby.
It's actually the Tessio is a great predictor of who won't win the Preakness.
Who won't? Well, yes.
Deputed testimony. I want to get one mention in. Deputed testimony.
They got one
mention
in.
Of that horse right now because it is. We have an over under 4.5 mentions of that horse from 1983 on this show.
And you just mentioned him twice.
I mentioned him twice.
All right.
1983.
There it is.
How about that?
The last time.
Last time.
Hey, John Piazzik, when was the last time a Tessio winners won the Preakness?
Just go. All right.
We're gonna start with the pick five here. Race seven, it is the King.
Well, I'm not going to play along. It was a horse who was bred by the Bonifaces and won in 1983 and was by a traffic cop. I'm not going to say his name to lest you try to trick me into getting the over. And I will say this too. He's also the last Maryland bred to win the Preakness. The last Maryland bred hit the board in the Preakness was Magic Wisner in 2002. And Richard McGlory, if you're out there, I know you know, so I'm not going to say it. And then I think the last Tessio winner... Last Tessio winner to hit the board was Ichabod Crane in 2008, who came in third behind Big Brown. So the more you know.
Yeah, okay.
And what can you tell us about Coffee with Chris?
Well, he is actually entered on Saturday.
He's in a race today. You haven't looked, but he's in a race.
Believe
today.
It or not, he is entered.
I'm falling in like Derby season. So, all right. King T Leatherberry Stakes, 5.5 furlong sprint on the turf for the Phillies. 3-year-olds up. $100,000 race here. Let's start with ladies first here, Callie.
Oh, I thought you were going to me. Go ahead. Yeah, Callie.
Go ahead. What do you like about this race, Callie?
King T Leatherberry for the boys.
Oh, it's the boys? Dude, is it wrong on my show? Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is for the boys. Geez. Yes.
Listen.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just 3 and up.
Oh, I'm sorry. I saw the F there. And then yes, you're right. I'm sorry. I read my
F is wrong. For furlong.
Yeah, it is for furlong.
Yeah, how about
yes.
that? Okay. Yeah,
thank you. No more fire for Don for Dan Illman about
Callie. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Callie.
I see, we're all
just read the teleprompter, Burgundy.
Step by step, which is fine, just fine with me. We will walk you through this. Okay, so the biggest thing is the biggest thing to kind of get out of this. I mean, you have a number of. It's basically a matchup of who's in season right now as far as, you know, who's had a winter campaign and who's coming in hot. Now, I always base mine of who's coming in hot, how well they do off of the layoff, and I still land on Witty. He was first or second in 9 out of 11 races last year, 6 of them being stakes. Spoke with the connections last night, happy with how he's doing. He physically came in, I think, second. Or winning in the debut was DQ'd. But the thing is, his work tab is very similar to his, you know, lead up to the 2023 debut versus the 2024 debut. So that's the horse that's coming off of the layoff that I am a fan of. Now, I don't know if this one is going to be shipping in, but I also go to 4 Heart, who's coming off of the layoff again, it's outside speed. It's a horse that can handle this 5.5 no problem. Who did I choose that is having a little bit of a campaign? You have to – Brother Conway. I'm trying to figure out – of course, this guy is the claimer of the year. Half-Sibling and Special Day ran well routing on the turf, both at Del Mar, Santa Anita. Nothing like a listed stakes, but the Grand Dam was a grade 3 winner, routing on the turf as well. A couple of these horses that are shipping in that have had campaigns, you know, like the Morley horse, they're just not strong enough speed for me to be convinced. Bump and Run, who's trying turf for a second time, looking for a fourth consecutive win, and it's a style that's going to benefit him for this distance. Any play with a, you know, a little bit of a turn of foot on the dirt, that's going to be exponentialized on the turf. So that's my big transfer that I think I'm going to like.
All right. And let's go to the second longest here in the studio. Let's go to John Piazzik.
It might be long.
It is the King of the very stakes. Of course, King is best known for training a grass sprinter. That is.
Ben Scott.
Good job, Dan.
We'll wait for those two. Let's get this thing rolling.
Anyway, so I agree with Callie. I mean, at first glance, I didn't think I'd end up picking Witty on top, as he had kind of a second-itis streak of most of last year. He would keep making these big moves and keep kind of falling short. He did get up to win the Ben's Cap, incidentally, last fall, and then won the Maryland Million Turf Sprint. Did cap his 2023 with a very nice win in a sharp allowance optional claiming race on dirt. My thing is there's just so much speed in this race. They got blue situation on the inside. For the Conway has some speed. Charging has speed. And we know he can't last, as evidenced by his last start. Future is now, who I saw at in the last poll. I think she's pretty promising. She has speed. Coffee with Chris is likely going to be sent. So it could be a pretty electric pace out there. Witty has good tactical speed, and if that pace is as hot as I think it's going to be, Witty is going to take full advantage. I also like number 10, Outlaw Kid, quite a bit, for kind of the same reason. He has very good tactical speed. And if he runs back to a lot of the figures he ran at Woodbine last fall and also New York, he's probably going to win. He ran on the Bristol scale. He ran in the 93 times and 4 starts last year, one going away at Belmont Park back in June. He's making his first start since September. It's a tad alarming, however, he has worked pretty well for George Weaver at Palm Beach Downs, and I think he could slide through the cracks a little bit in the betting.
All right, Dan Illman, what do you got?
Well, first of all, thanks for showing us the VFW hall that you rent when you produce this office show every week. It was very, very exciting. I think that, you know, John and Callie pretty much said it all, and that Witty is certainly the horse to beat. We'll see what we get from him off of a layoff, and he's going to be coming from off of the pace. I don't know. I think the Philly Future is now is a very good chance in this race, and I think the morning line is going to normalize. I think that Witty's probably going to end up going off to one of the favorites. He's just a reputation horse, and he's very, very popular. Future is now has looked very, very good in Maryland with the win at Pimlico that John mentioned. But I like the last race, the Captiva Island Stakes. While she was facing fillies and mares and she was run down, the winner of that race is a heavy favorite who is in very, very good form. I think Future is now and Jamie Rodriguez is going to go right to the top in this race. And we'll see if she can last 5.5 against a very strong field of runners.
Has Dan Illman ever been to Captiva Island?
Has Dan Elvin ever been what? That microphone's going out again.
Have you ever been to Captiva Island?
I have never been to Captiva Island, no.
Okay.
I go places, Paris, Rome, you know.
Central Park, apparently.
Listen, Captiva Island is a great place. Great place. It is a great place. All right. So.
I like the Philly.
Louis?
Yeah, I like the Philly. Let's go.
You like the Philly? Oh, yeah. That's where we're going to get from Louie today.
I think she's really fast. Yeah, I think she'll be just fine.
The Philly is really fast. Okay, yeah. That's yeah. Of course, a shot at me. Go ahead. Race 8 is the Weber City Mistakes. Mile 16th on the dirt. This is the Blackout Susan Prep for three-year-old Phillies. This one is for Phillies, Louie.
Thank you.
$125,000 purse. We'll start with you, Louie.
How about that? This is my favorite race to cap on this card. I'm not sure it's the best betting race, but trying to figure out the pace scenario, who's going to do what in this race is really interesting. I had to go back and watch last year's race to remind myself where the starting gate is for this thing.
Mm.
It's in a very unusual spot in horse racing, but not totally out of the realm of normal start spots. But I landed, in fact, in the Weaver City Miss on the 5. Determined driver, who I think has been running really well at Laurel, first time up for the Trombetta barn here. But I really like the connections here. I like the fact that even in the slop at a mile, this horse has been stretching out, ready to go 2 turns here. I think she'll be in a good spot. Daughter dialed in. I think she'll be just fine. With that added distance, went to the inside for Band of Gold because I just played Kenny McPeak horses because I can never predict when they're going to run well or run poorly. And so I think that she's in here for a very, very obvious reason. I think that going the 2 turns here, getting the distance will be great for her as well. And then I landed finally on the 4 horse in the 3rd spot here. I think the 4 is the most likely if this race goes a little bit too fast up front to be able to make a run in that long stretch at Laurel. I think that the 4 Shimmering Allure here, the other Kenny McPeak, will pick up the pieces here. I expect if we're going to get a horse to get out front, stay out front, it will be Determined Driver, maybe sit 2nd or 3rd behind the speed. But if someone does pick up the pieces of a faster race, it'll be the 1 or the 4.
All right. Callie, how about you?
Agreed with everything Louie's got going on so far, especially just watching Determined Driver last time out. She's a tiny filly, but she moves like a really big, she moves like she's a big girl. So I think she's going to be so fun to watch on the 8th race on Saturday, post time 4:00. So underneath, I go with Call Another Play for John Bretta and Rodriguez. Only has the edge on Determined Driver just because of the, that two-turn experience. I'm a Cutie Pie. She ran against a bit on a downward spiral, but nonetheless, that filly was a tough filly. And I go with a possibly a price of Grammy Girl. Is anybody really going to argue with DePaz right now in Maryland? I'm certainly not going to so much. Beat out Amy Symphony, who I'm a huge fan of. And need I remind you that this is a half to Classic Empire. So it's, you know, the number, it's coming up number soft. And frankly, those races should be coming up number soft. So this is, and I get it, first time against winners in a stake. This is a big ask of her. But if you can, this is potential value here. If I expect this one to run like, you know, not just Classic Empire, but a couple of her half siblings.
Callie, we've seen her try to get to the front early in her two races that she's run. She's got that outside post position. Does that bother you at all on Saturday?
No. I think she has enough gate speed to make something of it. When I get that, you know, it's a bit short getting into that first turn, but it's eight horses. We have pretty professional ladies here. I don't think anything is going to go too haywire.
All right. Dan Ilman, what do you think?
I think Kelly gave some great information about Grammy Girl from a pedigree standpoint and, of course, from a trainer standpoint. Her ratio of deposit is in fantastic form right now. You know, and, of course, Louis gave out terrible opinion because Band of Gold is not running. She'll either be pointing for the Kentucky Oaks or the Edgewood on turf. So good luck there. I'll go with the other repeat. I hate to chalk out. Shimmering Allure, I just think, is the best horse in this race. She showed a lot of talent last year, too. Not only in the Tempted, but in the Demoiselle, where she was second, and she was four wide every step of the way. I thought she ran so well. I was a little bit disappointed in the Busanda, but I talked to Kenny McPeak today. He said she ran so well at two that he wanted to give her a shot in the Ashland. So he freshened her up for that race, and just look who she was in against, Leslie's Rose and Just FYI and Impel and all the good ones. So this is a little bit of a drop in class for Shimmering Allure. And if Miss Harriet, a stretch out sprinter, and Grammy Girl sort of get involved early, it'll set things up for Shimmering Allure. Again, hate to chalk out, but she's my top play in here.
John Piazzik, anything to add?
Well, I picked Turban Driver on top, which I think could be a very, very good filly. But I do want to give a shout out to number three, Jeannie Marie, for Butch Reed, coming off a win in the mainline stakes at Park. That was her first start in about 8 months, and her first start beyond 4.5 furlongs, going to a mile and 70 yards. Never an easy thing to stretch out 4 furlongs in the span of one race, but it set the pace, held on, earned a very nice figure. Things will be tougher on the lead for her on Saturday, but I think she's a strong contender at a pretty good price. I mean, 15-1 morning line won't be that high with the scratch of Band of Gold and also of Aoife's Magic, but still, I think she'll be a good value.
All right, race nine. We're going to move on to race nine. It's the Laurels version of the Clark Stakes. No relation to Meriwether Lewis Clark. This is the Henry S. Clark of Delaware fame. $100,000 race here on the turf for three-year-olds and up. Let's see. We've not let Dan Ilman start, so we'll let Dan start on this one.
I think this is a really excellent betting race. It would be a spread race for me in the pick five. Eons is a really remarkable horse. He's coming back for another season. I talked to Arno Delacour this morning, though, and he says that Eons usually needs a race or two off of the layoff. And at this distance, it might be just a little bit sharp for him. So he's not sure if he's going to absolutely run his best. On his best day, Eons is right there. I think you have to use the sharp horse that wintered in Florida, the number four Forever Super for Trombetta, who's won two in a row and has utilized brilliant tactical speed. But to me, the most interesting horse in the race is the number six Data Man for Graham Motion, a horse that just seemed to put it together towards the end of last year. I mean, he wins the Bald Eagle Derby at a big price at Laurel, and look who he's in against in the Virginia Derby. Integration, Program Training came back to win what? The Hollywood Derby. Integration is one of the top turf horses in the country, and the last race was on dirt. Graham Motion excels off of layoffs. I want to use Data Man with the two aforementioned horses.
All right, let's go to John Piazza. John? Let's go to John Piazza. John, can you hear me? Did we blink out? Callie, can you hear us?
I agree with Dan. Hiruzuka is my top pick. I really liked his win last.
Having bad internet.
I'm here. I'm right here.
Okay. Well, I don't know what's going on with our connection. So.
All right. I'll just go then. Since we're here. I agree with what's been said so far. I do think the other grand motion in here, Ingby, who's been at it for a million years, the 8-year-old gelding here, I think he's an interesting entry here. Once in a while we get, you know, these high-end grass races with Chad Brown. It's the other Brown or the other Baffert in a dirt race out west. I don't know. Something about English B makes me think that he's going to jump up over here, even with one win the last 2 years on his record here. But just a, you know, hard-knocking kind of horse. And good shot here. Mm-hmm. I agree with Dan completely that Data Man is one of these to watch here. It's good to see a grand motion entry at Laurel Park again.
Callie, what says you? Callie, can you hear us? Callie.
Can anyone hear
you? I don't know.
I can hear you.
All right, we got Elm in there.
Oh, okay.
I can hear you.
I'm not sure what's going on.
I have come back.
We typically do not have this level of technical difficulties on the show, but it's live.
Well, it's funny, too, because I was talking about the four horse, whose name I won't say, because when Dan mentioned his name, he was chopping out, and then when I said his name, he was chopping out, so maybe it's a curse. The four horse did run very well at Tampa Bay Downs, came from the soft pace.
I agree with you. I put English B actually said. Are you guys there?
Yeah, we got you. Hello? Go ahead, Cal.
Can you guys hear me? Hello, I am
nice
here.
To hear you, Cal.
Oh my gosh, I'm telling you right now, this is going to be this is the Eclipse Award winner right here, Luke. This is it. This is the one that wins the Eclipse. We're gonna actually
let's go to the Tessio.
Yeah, we're gonna go to the Tessio, but this point though, I'm not sure what we got from our guests or not, so we're just gonna do the best we can. So we're gonna go on to the Tessio, the mile and an eighth on the dirt. This is the Preakness preview here. This is the main event, $125,000 race, 1 mile and an eighth. Louis, who did you like in the Tessio?
Federico Tessio, a very finely dressed man, obviously an Italian, who came over and really helped establish the later, you know, sort of 20th century. I mean, did you see the list of horses in his training?
It was incredible.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. Just a sort of, and what he set up as far as a breeding line and those kinds of things, really just a remarkable man. But yeah, I can't believe I get to go first on Tessio today, but man, I settled on slightly different.
Well, we had to have a lot of technical difficulties. For that
I understand. Yeah. I'm going to go with speediness on the inside for Jamie Ness. You know, the Ness Rodriguez combination here, they've only combined the last 2 years for 430 runs at Laurel Park, plus whatever else is going on, 600 total. These two hook up all the time. This is the winner of the Miracle Wood. Didn't love the slop last time, but still ran a really good third that had that finish with Copper Tax, obviously, and with Inveigled. And I'm going a lot more on post position here. I like the fact that this horse is inside. I love Copper Tax, man. I think that horse is just absolutely fantastic, but I hate the outside post for him. I have Copper Tax second in this one for sure as well. And then I'll go to is the 10 got a shot here? Does Inveigled have a shot coming in?
Yes.
Okay, good. For Jane Savelli.
Well, we've got someone we can listen to. Here is too. So that's for
there you
Callie.
Go.
Thank you.
Callie, go ahead. Go ahead. I'll let you go from here, but I'll go one.
On oh, no, no, no. Sorry. Halfway did that just to see if you – but, I mean, I know – here's the thing. I know the thing both – poor speediness, Inveigled and Copper Tax were a bit wide of him. So I think with more distance, speediness, and an opportunity of horses kind of trying to and riders trying to race ride it a little bit, speediness probably could have dug in there again if he had the opportunity for more distance. Regardless of that, I still have him underneath on my ticket. I do go with Copper Tax. I go with Inveigled. In fact, beforehand, it just to me showed a whole new dimension of grittiness last time out. It all depends how close he wants and needs to be behind the speed right now. That's his potential Achilles heel because he can only, you know, he can only kind of work that steam engine so much.
Okay. Can Dan or John hear us?
Yes, I can.
Oh, they're both there.
I think we're caught up. All right.
All right, good. Yeah. Let's go with John. Listen, at least we're caught up for the Tessio. We're going to get everyone's opinion here on the Tessio. Callie, please come back because this is usually
I'm
not.
Here.
It is not usually this bad. Like
back on the show at some point, like you know, Freak This Friday or something. Like, come talk to us.
We're not used to having girls on the show. I think you broke it. I don't know what happened.
Next week when I'm hosting the show, Callie, you'll be.
If you're hosting the show, I know it's gonna run so smoothly, Dan.
It usually does run.
You guys are gonna be working at the Piggly Wiggly. I have a feeling
it does usually run smoothly.
Kelly Francois shit on the show.
All right, Piazza, go ahead, man. I don't want to go. Well,
so I like speediness. I like cop attacks. However, I'm going pretty off the board with my top pick here. Number two, Celtic contender is my top choice. I don't see why he can't win. I know Dan is okay. That's good because you had kind of a skeptical look on your face. I have a second, but then you applauded. So I'm glad. I mean, I think he's a very live long shot. He ran a huge race to break his maiden. Second time out, overcame a rough start, won as much, much the best. Then last time out for the five returns, he got bet, but he lost ground at the start. He got kind of pinched back. He was forced much further off the pace than he was used to, and from there, he had no shot. If he breaks cleanly today, and he gets his trip just off his speediness, so I'm not sure is able to go up a mile and an eighth. If Jamie Ness was confident he was, he probably would have nominated him for the Triple Crown. So if he gets that trip and speediness backs up, he can absolutely take advantage. He's going to be overlooked. I think he's very live at a big price.
Little Irish war cry. Son of Irish war cry there. All right. Hillman?
I love that analysis. And John, you should know me better than that. I'd never knock anyone who picks a price source in a race like this, especially a lightly raced one with a good post
and
tactical speed. Copper Tax to me, as Callie pointed out, is the most logical horse in the race and probably the horse to beat. The post position is, of course, no bargain. I'm curious about two other horses in this race. One is Circle P, the number three. And Circle P won the Maryland Juvenile in his final start as a two-year-old. And I really like the way Flint Stites has led him up to this race. One turn mile, mile and a 16th. Now a mile and an eighth. I think he's cycling to his best form in his third start off the layoff, and he's getting blinkers for the first time. This guy's a little bit green. Sometimes he runs in spots in his races, and he was also very, very wide last time out. And I think that hurt him, and Copper Tax kind of bumped him a little bit at the 3/16 pole. I like this rider switch to Sheldon Russell as well. I'm definitely using Circle P. I would use Copper Tax, and I think the Todd Pletcher trend runner at least deserves a mention. Carolo Rubino, simply because of his pedigree. He's by Curlin out of a Kentucky Oaks winner named Catherine Sophia, and he looked good last time. I know it was only a maiden race, but it was a very slow-paced race. There was a horse loose on the lead, and Carolo Rapido ran him down.
Yeah, it seems like one of those, like just one of those placements for Pletcher, right? Like we always like you see a placement like this. Yes. It's like there's something very calculated going on here with that horse. I would agree. So
you got to ask the question now.
What's the question?
Is there a Preakness winner?
No, there's not a Preakness winner in this field.
That's a good answer from you. Callie Francois is the winner of the Preakness in this race.
I would say no.
Okay, down.
Very unlikely.
John?
Possible. Not likely, but possible.
There you go, buddy. There it is. All right.
Who is the most likely horse that improves on the third Saturday in May?
Copper Tax, I think.
Copper Tax. All right. How about Dan?
Ooh.
I think Carolo Rapido would probably be the one that just happens to jump up, wins this race, and then pulls off a shocker. And then if you're looking for something a little bit nutty, Kenny McPeak's lat long. Can't you see him running a good race here? He doesn't make it, obviously, into the Derby. He shows up in the Preakness at a big price. He scores at 40-1. Would it be the biggest shock in the world?
No.
The biggest shock in the world would be like if a unicorn entered the race and won. That would be a shock.
All right.
Would not be a shock.
Yeah, all right, so listen, I think we're gonna quit while we're ahead.
No, here's why we can't do that.
Okay,
I want to speak directly to the Maryland Jockey Club and to Dan Ailman together as one.
I don't even know.
I used to come on these shows and whine like the middle of the country rube that I am about the poor races at the ends of these sequences. This is a very good race at the end of this season.
Okay.
So we are handicapping.
Let's do the 1 mile maiden special weight on the turf for 3, 4, 5 year olds.
Dude, there's 15 horses entered in this race. We're capping this race. $47,000.
This is the end of the pick five.
Yeah.
15 horses. So you're, lots of great things going on here, Louis. So, give us your quick pick here.
Go to Ilman.
All right, Illman, who do you like?
This is the Illman special.
I like the 2, Come Rain or Shine, trying turf for the first time for Michael Trombetta. He's a 3/4 brother to No Mo Lady, grade 3 placed on turf. The dam won 3 times on turf. This gelding has run 3 solid enough races on the main track, but I think switching to the grass and getting a good inside post position in this 2-turn race is going to work out very well for him. I'd keep an eye on him. I'd also keep an eye on Prime to Go, a horse coming in for Jorge Duarte and getting Lasix for the first time. This horse, I just thought 6 furlongs was too short for him in his most recent start, and he had a lot of trouble in his 2 prior appearances.
All right, John Jozik.
I am very glad that we wanted to talk about this race because it features a best bet, not just of the whole day, but possibly of the Laurel Spring meet so far. And it's number 11, Mission North. And to appreciate him, you have to have a local knowledge, because if you look at his running lines, it says he hasn't run since December. But he did compete at the Old Dominion Hounds Point to Point in Virginia a few weeks ago. It doesn't show up in his running lines. It's not mentioned on Equibase, but he did show up there. He ran in a mile and a half amateur training flat race. He faced all winners that day, and he won. And he won pretty impressively, I thought, too. It was a very nice tune-up for this race. He gets Lasix for the first time. Ran a much improved race in his second grass start last fall. And most people out there are not going to know that he just won. Only people who listen to this show and read my column and also go to Point to Points in Virginia and also to Laurel are going to know. And that's 2 very intense of people. That's so I think this horse is very live at a good price.
Tens of people. I have to ask a DRF question.
Okay.
Today is April 18th. He is listed as being gelded today. I have never in my life seen the program with the same day that I'm reading it, that the horse is going. Is there any chance he's actually being gelded today to run on Saturday?
No, but today was the day he was reported as being a gelding since.
Is that how it works?
And I would assume also, by the way, for John, this is another great point that he made. He was probably gelded before that point to point race, wasn't he, John?
I'm looking it up right now just to confirm, but I'm pretty sure he was.
I'm pretty sure he was. So, yes, I mean, the gelding dates, let's take with a grain of salt here.
Okay.
A lot of times it's not the exact date it's they're gelding, but the trainer's calling up Equibase and saying, my goodness, we gelded old Oak Bucket today. It doesn't work that way.
I get the gelding department. Yeah, right. Yeah.
More gelding talk, sponsored by Manscaped. And their promo code, horse
he was listed, for he 20% was listed as off.
You're not using it right. You're not using it right.
He was listed as a colt for his last start, so it must have happened at some point between April 6th and right now. I doubt it was today, but it was at some point in the last few days. Unless
I'm guessing that they just reported it late.
Poor Callie. Callie's like, what's going on here?
But hey, I think that's great analysis. I really think that's great information. You see, that's what goes beyond the past performance. Mm-hmm.
Forceful is going to win this race for Brandi Russell. She's 31%. First time with a horse and goes sprinter route at 31% as well. So I'm going to lean on Brittany Russell in this last race.
All right. What do you got, Callie?
I was going to go with Prime. Dan stole all of my answers. So I'm going to go with Prime to Go probably. It's a 3-2-1 situation. But now with all of this information on Mission North, man, I'm going to have that horse in my exacta maybe. And then here's the thing. Do I that's a bad word for it. How do I, John, do you want me to keep this information to myself, or do you want me to, can I credit you in the afternoon?
You can credit me because I'm going to say it in my racing biz analysis. Perfect. And it's public information. It's just a matter of no one where to look for it. So absolutely. Perfect. Yes.
Love it.
There it is. John Piazzik, educating the world.
We went way under on guesses of imputed testimony. I mentioned him again. That's only 3. I'm okay. Very sad about
it. Well, that's
it's very all, sad.
It's Piazzi's fault.
We're trying to have a Tessio show. Trying to mention Tessio horses, trying to be cool with Maryland. Not working out. We'll see you at Jimmy Seafood. How
about that? Yeah, see us at Jimmy Seafood. Sorry for the technical difficulties today. Thanks to Callie. Do you want to pub yourself? Where can people find you? They know where to find those other 2 schmucks. Where can people find you, Callie?
It's pretty standard Twitter, which I'm not too, I need to get more active on it. Dan is so much more active on it than I am. Mm-hmm. I aspire to be Dan Illman level involved in Twitter. But it's at Miss Francois, number two, letter U. And that's basically it across all of my social medias.
Sweet. All right. Yeah. Well, there you go. Hope everyone has an amazing Tessio day. Thanks for all of our special guests. We can't wait to be out in Baltimore, drink some Natty Bo and have some Jimmy seafood. It's going to be fantastic. And
we do love that trip.
We'll see. Yeah, I do. But real quick before we get off.
Well, why don't we have, since we're not going to see these folks, if they had an early favorite for the Derby. They don't have to pick the winner today, but an early favorite right now. I think Dan Owens probably got one in mind. And it's forever young.
I gave you the horse 6 months ago, boys. I don't know what the
Tennessee.
It certainly wasn't Tennessee, and he didn't come from Tennessee. He's coming from a long way from Tennessee. But I told you in November about this guy, forever young. I believe, Louie, you had him on number one all of a sudden on your Kentucky Derby.
I listened to Dan Illman
a while back. But
and he took credit for him, you know.
I also think Sierra Leone, by the way, is the horse to beat. Those are my tips.
Yeah.
Callie?
Sierra Leone, and I have to include, here's the thing, you have to include fierceness if that horse gets loose on the front end, goodbye, but he's not trustworthy, so then, I mean, Sierra Leone is, as mentioned, the horse to beat.
John?
I agree with Dan and Callie. Everyone kind of forgot how hyped they were about Trevor Young's win in the UAE Derby because it happened right before Fierceness's win, but he ran a giant race that day. I think he'll get overlooked in the betting, and as Callie and I talked about last night, it would be pretty cool if Japan finally got a Derby winner.
There it is. All right. Great. Thanks for all your picks. We will see you all in Baltimore. For people who want to see Louie and I, especially live, Tuesday.
And John Piasek, he's going to be there with the hair.
I'm talking about our stuff in Louisville real quick.
These people don't care about that. This is the Maryland show. We'll do that another time.
Oh, okay, we'll do that another time. All right.
Johnny, we got P lots of the hair. We got to be at Jimmy Seafood. There you go.
Jimmy Seafood. We'll see you then. We're going to pay tab. We're going to get out of here. Thanks for listening. This is the Horse Racing Happy Hour.